Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Your lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew 4. In 1938, Orson Welles put on the radio a false report that aliens had invaded the planet Earth. And many people, many cities were going crazy. It created hysteria in our culture. It was a lie, obviously. I don't know if you believe in aliens. Don't waste your time. Whether they're true or not, it ain't going to affect you. It's not in the Bible, so God, don't worry about it. It's probably a whole bunch of demonic stuff. But anyway, they made a movie of it called War of the Worlds. It was a war between our planet and an outside world many years ago. And the aliens lost because they got infected by a bacteria in our atmosphere. We couldn't have beat them because they were superior in their technology. There's a new movie coming out with Tom Cruise called War of the Worlds. I just saw last night another version of a War of the Worlds, Alien vs. Predator. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but when I was growing up, anytime you had a war movie or a monster movie, the black people always died in the beginning of the movie. Can I get an amen from the brothers? You know what I'm talking about? We saw a brother, you know he's going to die right in the first 5 minutes, right? They always send him in first, you know, go look. And he's like, yeah, okay, I got to die. I need to die. Well, what was, you know, Alien vs. Predator, you know, a couple black people in the movie, and in the end, the black girl, she's the only one living at the end. I was like, counting people. All white people are dying. This is pretty good. And letting the brother live to the last person is something I've been carrying with me for, you know, 45 years. It's kind of frustrating with it. But anyway, Alien vs. Predator, and I think the Predator's a brother anyway. He got the dreadlocks. He's just, you know, he's... But in Alien vs. Predator, you have to, if you pay attention, Alien and Predator have two different weapons. The Alien, you know, he has his whole mouth, teeth coming out, and his acid blood, you know, and Predator had that Jinsu knife boomerang thing he throw out, come back, he had his little laser thing. Every single one of us is in a battle, a spiritual battle. It is very, very serious. The devil is a very strategic person. He's very ingenious, smarter than all of us in our natural sense. He understands how to trip you up, how to destroy your life, how to destroy your marriage, how to get husbands to hate their wives who they marry, and vice versa. How to have adults molest children. People do drugs. When I was 24 years old, I was using cocaine before I got saved. When I got saved, actually. I used cocaine all that night. I would stand in front of the mirror and look at myself, and, you know, I'm a pretty rational person most of the time. And I'm looking in the mirror going, what are you doing? Why are you putting this white powder in your nose, drugging yourself? Why? Because the devil was so smart. He's a mastermind. So you have to understand how he fights. And we're going to look at a story today about his encounter with Jesus. Let's look at our notes. Let's read a couple things first. It says, in your lesson plan, army is a group of people trained and armed for war. The Rock's Salvation Army is a group of people trained and armed to fight for the souls of unbelievers. Our job is to facilitate that training. If we do not facilitate that training, we are failing in our responsibility as a church. Your job is to be trained and to fight the battle. You cannot not be in the battle. Even if you say, I'm not going to get involved, you're involved because the devil's, he's beating on you every day. So you can't not be in the battle. And so you have to decide either you're going to fight the battle or you're just going to be subjected to whatever the devil puts on your life, which the latter I think is dumb. To just let him do what he wants. You have to say, no, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight because he's beating you down anyway. And so the Salvation Army is a group of people saying, no, we're going to be trained and we're going to be on for war. The mission of the Rock is to save, equip, and send out soul winners for Jesus Christ. That is our mission. In the end, we have to get people saved, equip them, and send them out to get other people saved. That is why we exist. That is why every church on the planet Earth exists, by the way, based on Jesus' words, to make us fishers of men. Any other church that has a mission that's not about getting people saved, equipping people, and helping them go get other people saved is off the biblical mark of why the church exists. Now, that expresses itself in different ways, but that's the bottom line. Okay, now let's go to the story of today. This is a story about when Jesus talks to the devil. Now, let me give you a little insight. If you're taking notes, you want to write these three things down. Satan speaks three times in the Bible. The first time is in Genesis chapter 3.
He speaks to Adam and Eve, and he tries to turn man against God. He tries to turn man against God. The second time he speaks is in Job chapter 1 and 2. He tries to turn God against man. He tries to turn God against man. So the first time he tries to turn man against God by telling Adam and Eve, God's holding out on you. Second time he tries to turn God against man by telling God, Job is taking advantage of you. The third time he speaks is in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at it today, Matthew 4, where he tries to turn the man God, Jesus, against his father. And every single time he's trying to secure, he's trying to destroy the relationship between man and God and secure worship of himself. The devil is in a 24-hour, 365-day battle to destroy your relationship with God. He does not want you trusting God. He doesn't want you reading the Bible. He doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you hanging around Christians. He wants you to do it yourself. Why? So you can worship him and go to hell with him. So you can cheat yourself out of the blessings that God has for you. So be clear about that. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. He has a strategy, very specific strategy. Listen, let's read first and we'll get to that strategy. Look in your Bible, chapter 4, Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Why? You ever think about that? Why would Jesus say, okay, he gets baptized, John baptized, and the Holy Spirit comes on. Matter of fact, we'll look at that sermon next week. And then the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, we're going into the desert, the wilderness, so you could be tempted by the devil. Why? Now, first let me tell you this. Don't try this at home. You do not want to allow yourself or put yourself in a position to be tempted. In other words, if you're an alcoholic, do not go to the bar or the liquor store. If you have sexual addiction problems, don't put yourself in a situation where that addiction can be fed. If you have anger problems, don't get in arguments. Walk away. Don't even, if you see an argument coming, walking down the street, go the other way. Whatever your issue is, avoid your issue. Don't allow yourself to be tempted. But Jesus is different. Jesus goes to the wilderness to be tempted. Why? I'll give you two reasons why. There's probably 40, but I'll give you two. One, to expose the strategy of the devil. I believe this is in your notes, the strategy of the devil. Number one, his strategy is to create self-doubt. Self-doubt is created. And we're going to see that a solution, a satanic solution, is provided. Self-doubt is created, and a solution is provided. So what Christ does, he goes in and he exposes the strategy of the devil, and then he teaches us how to fight against the devil. Now, Christ himself could have easily just revealed his glory to Satan and crushed Satan. But the reason he didn't do that is because we can't do that. What Christ did is what we can do. He did one very simple thing. He said, it is written. Everyone say, it is written. One more time, it is written. I'm sorry, I lied. One more time, it is written. It is written. The devil's, ah! Devil, the Bible says, it is written. The devil says, ah! Satan, the Bible says, it is written. The devil says, ah! Satan, the Bible says, it is written. That is all you need to know. That's all you need to know. What does the Bible say? That's it. Let's read chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Duh. Why does it say 40 days and 40 nights? Because some people fast sun up to sundown. In Islam, they fast 40 days. They fast 40 days, Ramadan, but they fast sun up to sundown. It means after the sun's down, they eat. And before it comes up, they eat. Jesus says, no. I just want you to know, not that that's bad or wrong, but he wants to be clear that you understand 40 days and 40 nights. And then after that, he was hungry. If you fasted last month, you know, you can go an extended time of fasting and not be hungry. Okay? So just want to throw that little nugget in there for free, right, real quick. Verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, and by the way, one of the devil's many names is tempter. His job is to tempt you. Say amen if you believe the devil knows how to tempt you. Oh my goodness, does he know? And if he and you know what? Not only does he know how to tempt you, he knows how to create ways for you to get tempted. He will have you crave things that you didn't crave before. Matter of fact, people who do drugs, you're not born wanting to do drugs unless you were born a drug addict because of your mom. But if you're born healthy, you don't have a craving to get high, to shoot heroin. He develops that over time. And you know what he starts with? Cigarettes. Is it a sin to smoke cigarettes? Verse 3. The tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, everyone say if. Say if. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Look in your notes now. I want you to read this with me. In your notes it says, lust of the flesh, a strong sinful desire to have something. Now I want you to think this with me, because this devil's strategy is twofold. It's step one, step two. Step one is that the devil says to Jesus, if, everyone say if. If you are the Son of God. Is Christ the Son of God? So what is he saying? You know what he's doing? He's challenging his identity. If you really are God, prove it. Prove it. Show people. Make sure we all are sure about this. You know what the devil does to you? He challenges your identity. If you really are the man at your house, you'll do this. If you really are fun and cute and all that, prove it. Wear that. If you really can get any man you want, so you think, do that. If you really are the boss, do that. If you really are the best person on your team or the best, smartest person at your job, prove it. What the devil does, he shakes the foundation of your identity, and then he provides you an opportunity, a way to reestablish your identity or to establish your identity. And he does it in several ways, because he asked Christ twice, if you are the Son of God. Of course he's the Son of God. But he says, and that's why, see, he's not smarter than God. Jesus tricked him. He said, expose your here, tempt me, throw your best. And he had to throw his best at Christ. He threw his best just so we would know what it is. And the devil's he's going to challenge your identity. Who do you think you are? Are you a man? You the boss? You the mom, the dad? Are you the smartest? Are you the cutest? Are you the most powerful? Whatever the devil's pumped your ego up to believe, he will continue to feed that ego to show you how to keep reestablishing that person. If Christ is your Savior, none of this is an issue. Because when Christ is your Savior, you've accepted, I'm a sinner. Everything I have that's good came from God, so therefore I have nothing to boast about. And if Christ is my Savior, my identity is established in the book in heaven. My name is written in the book of life. It can never be changed. I have nothing to worry about. Do you know that if all of y'all never came back and said y'all couldn't stand me, it doesn't change the fact that I'm saved. It doesn't change the fact that God loves me. It doesn't change the fact I'm going to heaven. It doesn't change that at all. At all. So I need to focus on who does God say that I am, and no matter what anybody or the devil says, it doesn't matter. But if you're not sure about who you are in Christ, the devil will certainly tell you. He will challenge you. And when you get in fights and arguments, as we're going to see in a few minutes, and when you start doing crazy stuff, you are in your tent, your own little way, trying to establish who you are. And by the way, it could be by doing wrong things. Go to prison. Go to a prison. And you will find a lot of people whose identity was in doing wrong things. Come to find out that the wrong things they were doing to establish the identity got them in prison. And every single one of them, and I can't say that because I talked to everybody in prison, but everybody I've talked to in prison will tell you they're wrong. They know it's wrong. They know that's a bad place. Now, but their identity is so caught up in devil saying, prove it, justify who you are, establish who you are. And so what he does, he provides opportunities for us to establish who we are by giving us this false satanic identity. And I say satanic, I don't mean, devil worship, but this fleshly based identity. And he gives us these ways of establishing it by tempting us in three areas of our life. The first one is the lust of the flesh. Look in your notes. The lust of the flesh is that the lust of the flesh is a strong desire to get something, to desire to have something. And by the way, these desires aren't necessarily in of themselves wrong. In other words, I'll give you an example. If you have a desire to have sex, that's not a wrong desire, but it becomes sinful when you want to satisfy it sinfully. Look in your notes. Remember, we are not entitled to have all our natural desires fulfilled. Just because you have a desire that's in your body, and it's a natural desire, it doesn't give you the, and you are not entitled to have the desire fulfilled whenever you want, when you want. Example, we went through this fast. Just because you're hungry doesn't mean you are entitled to eat when you want to eat. We've been taught that. Not only do I want to eat when I want to eat, I want to eat how I want to eat. I want it right now, the way I want it. That is not biblical. That's not biblical. Just because you have a sexual drive and a desire and a need to have a relationship doesn't mean you are entitled to any relationship anytime you want, any way you want. That's not true. God gave you the desires, and God has promised to fulfill those desires His way in His time when you submit to Him. It's called self-control. It's called maturity. It's called patience. But when we get caught up thinking, I want what I want, when I want, which is what the devil puts in our mind, and then the devil starts saying, yeah, I am hungry, and I am God, and I can turn those stones to bread. Because what the devil told Jesus, he said, Jesus, you not only have a natural desire, hunger, yeah, you not only have the ability to satisfy that desire by turning the stones to bread, yeah, so why don't you do it? That sounds like a logical progression. I have a desire. I have a way to satisfy the desire. My desire is natural. So why don't I do what I want to do to get that desire fulfilled? If I have the desire to make money, whether it be lying, cheating, and stealing, not that all people make money that way, but he can increase your income by that way, why don't I? Because I have a desire to have the things I want. If I have a desire, for a relationship and I have a nice body, why don't I show my body? Why don't I flirt? Why don't I do this to get what I want? That's what the devil will tell you. Every day of your life. And he was talking, yeah, I could do that. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, look what he says. Matter of fact, look in your notes. Satan says, are you really in control and able to get what you want? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really a man? Are you really a woman? Are you really in control? And can you get what you want, such as? And the such as is for you to fill in the blank, by the way. The such as may be sex, it may be power, it may be compliments, it may be money, it may be a nice car, it may be physical things. The such as is whatever the devil's tempting you in. And by the way, he'll never run out of options. Because he knows. It may be, you know, you want someone to tell you you're cute every day. That's your goal. So you work out day and night. You spend 5 hours in the beauty parlor. You spend 5 hours in front of the mirror just so you can get people to notice you, because you're hung up and you have to be set. You have to have someone tell you you're cute today. You know what? That is your own issue. That is not a biblical requirement. I can't go out of the house unless that's your issue. That ain't the Bible. Well, you know, I'm supposed to look good. Well, that's your issue. That's not the Bible. You know what? If you have that problem, you know what you should practice? You should get up in the morning looking jacked, which you do, by the way. Your breath stinks in the morning, by the way. And you should purposely go to Vons looking jacked just so you can get accustomed to realizing that, you know, it ain't no big deal for you not to be the cutest on the block. It really isn't. You don't always have to be first. You don't always have to get what you want. The devil has you convinced that those rules are compromised, your identity is compromised. He's lying to you. Look in your notes. Satan says, prove that you are in control by exercising your personal power. Prove it. Jesus, if you're the Son of God, prove it. And take your power and turn those stones to bread and do what God told you not to do, which is to eat. Because he was fasting. By the way, the devil will tempt you. You ever hear people say that the devil tempt me in my... The flesh is willing, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's true, but the devil tempts you in your strength. The devil's not going to tempt you where you're weak. He's going to tempt you when you're weak, but not where you're weak. Example, he's going to tempt you when your resistance to resist him is low, but he's going to tempt you in your strength, where your abilities lie. Example, I cannot sing. I wish I could, but I cannot. The devil's not going to tempt me with a record contract opportunity. It ain't gonna happen. Because I'm convinced I have no competencies in that area. So if Aristarchus or, you know, whoever came and said, we want to offer you a $1 million contract, all you got to do is sing this one song. It's like, no. Why, you know, no, no. The devil will tempt me in areas in my life that I think I can do something. So the devil's going to convince you that you can manipulate, lie, make money, scam women, scam men, whatever, whatever, whatever. That's where he's going to get you. You need to know what your strength is. You need to know what it is because, by the way, it ain't changing all the time. It's the same few things. It's the same few issues. And what he's telling you is that prove your identity, prove your self-worth, prove your value by doing this. And you know what you do? You do it, you feel good for a while, then you suffer. You do it, you feel good for a while, then you suffer. You do it, you feel good for a while, then you suffer. And you know what? He will do that for the rest of your life if you let him. Here's what the devil says. I mean, Jesus. Jesus says, trust me and remember, it is written. First one, write down 1 Corinthians 6:18. 1 Corinthians 6:18 in that first space. If the devil tempts you in the lust of your flesh and sexual issues, this says flee from sexual immorality. Flee. Everyone say flee. Flee. Say flee. Flee. Flee doesn't mean, well, you know, honey, I don't know, you know. And that's not fleeing. Fleeing is running. Run, Forrest, run. Joseph, remember Joe, remember that? Joe. You remember that? And who was Potiphar's wife? Joe, Joe. What did Joe do? He ran. He wasn't going, oh yeah, what's up, girl? How you doing? You know, I know you're married. No, no, no. He was running. Flee. The Bible says flee. Next one. Write down Proverbs 12:16. Proverbs 12:16 says a fool shows his annoyance at once. You ever hear those people say, well, I'm going to speak my mind. Say amen if you're one of those people. Yeah, I'm going to speak my mind. They're going to know what I think. You know what? That's very immature at times. The Bible says a fool shows his annoyance at once. The devil says, oh, you're the boss. How can you let them talk to you like that? You're the man of your house. How are you going to let that happen? You're the mother. How are you going to let your kids talk to you like that? Say something. Now, I'm not saying you don't ever say anything. But you better do it after you pray. God, what do you want me to say? Nothing right now. But nothing. Come like the, what the, with the little munchkins on Wizard of Oz. You know what the devil says? Speak your mind. You're an adult, you're a man, you're a woman, you're a grown-up. Speak your mind. God says, no, you don't speak your mind. Can you imagine if everything in your mind came out as words? And that's what the devil's trying to get you to do. Everything you think, just say it. None of you would have jobs and you have no friends. Number three, write down James chapter 4, James 4, 1 to 3. James 4, 1 to 3. Let me read this to you. This is so good. Anytime you ever get in an argument, anytime you get frustrated, anytime you don't get what you want, anytime you get mad at somebody, James 4, 1, 3. Look what it says. Where do fights and quarrels come from? Do they not come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You know how you can never get mad again? Back up. The only reason you get mad is because you don't get what you want. If you never want to get mad again, don't want anything. Really? Really? I was talking to a friend the other day. He says, how are you? I said, man, I'm so blessed. And I'm not blessed because everything's going right in my life, because everything's not going right the way the world looks at it. I'm blessed because I don't want anything. I don't need anything. Nothing. Now, I say that, but that's why, you know, it's like, hey, you don't like me? Well, go and pray for you. It's okay. Want to go to another church? Great. Let me pray for you. It's okay. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, get your way. I mean, the devil says, get your way. The Bible says, you have no way. It's God's way. Look what Jesus said. Look what Jesus says in verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What did we talk about a month ago in Lordship when I did this thing on obedience? Do what God says. That's it. So when stuff happens around you, forget what you feel, forget what you think, forget what you think you're supposed to do or want to do. God, what do you say? That's it. So the devil's saying, yeah, you got power. Yeah, you're hungry. Yeah, you're entitled to eat. Yeah, you are able to make food. Jesus says, no, it ain't about what I want, what I feel, what I deserve, Satan. It's about what God says. Lesson number one. Number two, pride of life. The disease of me inflating my sense of self. Pat Riley, in his book, wrote, the disease of me defeats the power of we. When it's all about you, everything is destroyed around you. Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all time, literally, in boxing. Boxing is a sport where you are an individual in the ring. And he was lecturing at Harvard University. And they asked him, tell him a poem, because he was all about poems and rhymes. And you know what he said? He quoted the shortest poem ever quoted. Two words. Me, we. Even he understood. I can't do this alone. You can't do it alone. But the devil wants you to think it's all about you. It ain't about you. Go ask somebody you know if it's about you. It ain't about you. Look what he says to the devil. In verse 5, the devil took Jesus up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, if, everyone say if. Yes. Say if. Yes. One more time, say if. Yes. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For the Bible says, it is written. Look at the devil using the Bible. He shall give charge over his angels concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus says, it is written. Everyone say, it is written. Yes. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Number one, the devil can use the Bible. I know some of y'all read the Da Vinci Code. That book's from the pit of hell. It's full of lies. And the guy who wrote it knows it. Matter of fact, when we do our next series after Easter, we're going to spend some time talking about that book and the lies in the book. The devil's a mastermind at using scripture and twisting it around. That's why you have to read the Bible, study the Bible. You can't go by just what I say. Go read it yourself. Go memorize yourself. Go talk to people about it yourself. Because the devil will use the Bible to twist your mind. And if you don't know, what did he say to Eve? Eve, what did God say? Eve said, well, you know, God said we can't eat or touch the fruit. Well, that, you know, he brought doubt into her mind. What did God say? And so he tried to do that with Jesus himself. That's how foolish he is. You don't think he's going to do that to you? He says, Jesus, if you are really the man, let's go to all the way to the top. Throw yourself down. And when you land like Charmin, everyone will go, whoa, you the man. Look at your notes. The pride of life. Satan says, are you really somebody in the eyes of other people? Are you really the man? Are you really the cutest? Are you really the most powerful? Are you really the richest? Do you really have the most stuff going on? And the devil says, he'll say, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I'm not number one. So what he'll do is he'll give you ways to reestablish that status. Look what it says. He says, prove it by outdoing other people. Why do you think people sometimes, buy the things they buy. Because someone else got something better. Just so they can have something better than somebody else. Why do you think people say sometimes wear the stuff they wear? Why do you think some people are motivated to look the way they look? Sometimes, and I'm saying, so I really mean sometimes, because sometimes really it's really sincere and correct. But sometimes they're just really trying to do it to outdo somebody else. That is the wrong motive. Because you know why? There's always going to be someone cuter than you. There's always going to be someone in better shape. There's always going to be someone with more money than you. What you need to do is figure out how to manage what you have the best way you can. Matter of fact, we have a classes here in our Rock U program, and we're going to have a whole class on money management. How to get out of debt, how to manage your money. God's way. And you can sign up for that
after service if you want. Look in your notes. Jesus says, trust me, remember, it is written. Number one, write down Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35 says, Jesus called his 12 and says, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last and a servant of all. The world says, if you want to be somebody, make sure you are the first in line. Make sure you are at the top of your class. Nothing wrong with being at the top of your class. But Jesus says, in my kingdom, be a servant. Don't put yourself first. Put yourself as best. Put yourself last. Serve. That's in my kingdom. See, in the kingdom of God, things are opposite. In the world, if you want to be rich, you hoard to yourself. In the kingdom, you give. If you want to be first, you're last. If you want to be strong, you become weak. What does that mean? It's that you give all your riches and you let God be the source of your riches. God be the source of your wisdom. God be the source of your strength. It's opposite. But the devil's always going to have you do something opposite of God. Another verse, write down Proverbs 23:4-5. Let me read this to you. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have wisdom, the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance. Everyone say glance. At riches, they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off into the sky like an eagle. Say amen if you ever had money just fly away like an eagle. It's just like, ooh, you had it, and then it was gone. Where'd it go? Well, your kids. All kind of ways it goes. I'm not saying nothing wrong having money. I'm not saying there's anything wrong having money. I'm saying if that's, it says, what does it say? Don't weigh yourself out. It's going to be gone. The devil says weigh yourself out, because that's how you establish who you are. Number three, write down 1 Corinthians 8:1-3. It says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. He may tell you, listen, you need to learn information, and prove how smart you are. Nothing wrong with learning information. But you know what the Bible says? That can puff you up. What you need to do is you need to build other people up with that information. You need to serve other people with that information. Opposite. The last one is lust of the eyes. Possessions that are pleasing and impressive. And you know, Satan says you need status symbols to prove your worth. Because you don't really know who you are. And for you to establish who you are, you need stuff. You need bling in your life. And that bling will establish you as somebody. The more bling you got, the more bling you feel you need to show, the more insecure you are. I'm not a rich person. I've never been a rich person. But I went to a meeting one day with these three guys. And I came dressing bummy that day for whatever reason. And after I got to know them, they said to me, we knew as soon as you walked up, you were rich. I go, why? Because you didn't care what anyone thought of you, but based on what you had on. And some people who are secure, who have a lot of something that they're trusted in, they don't care about anything else because they got that something. Now, that something for us needs to be Jesus. The devil wants that something to be money, accolades from people, pat on the backs, acknowledgement. Your something, my something that we have a lot of that makes us not care about what people think is Christ. Now, Christ wants us to love people, encourage people. It doesn't mean we disrespect people, but it means we're not playing by the rules of the world. Pride of life. I mean, lust of the eyes. Look what it says in chapter 4, verse 8. The devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. There's a whole lot in those two verses. Let me say this. He took Jesus up and said, this is comical. He said, Jesus, look at all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Jesus said, yeah, I see them. And by the way, I made them, but that's another story. You know what he said, Jesus? If you worship me, I will give you it to you. What's wrong with that picture? He already owns it. If he's going to try to give Jesus something he already owns, don't you think he's going to try to give you something you already own? The devil's trying to give you stuff you already have. The devil's trying to give you love in a perverted way.
God's already given it to you. The devil's trying to give you self-worth. God's already given it to you. The devil's trying to give you identity. He's trying to give you encouragement. His way. God's already given it to you. You know that if you can just get in touch with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if you can get in touch and hear his voice every day, sense his presence, surrender yourself to his love, you won't need anything the devil offers you. Because you will have the authentic version of what he's trying to offer you. He's trying to offer you a perverted version. So when he tries to give you something and then tells you God is not giving it to you or God is holding out on you, he's lying to you. You already have it. The only thing that happens as you walk with God, you don't get more of God. You do not get more of God. He gets more of you. And you realize it. That's all that changes. You have all of God you can handle. But when you walk with God and you pray and you read the Bible and you surrender yourself to him, God is getting more of you. Consequently, you are experiencing more of him because you're not resisting him as much. But you have it already. And by the way, the devil says, I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory. The devil did not show him all the junk. The devil's not going to show you all the junk. You ever go to Vegas, what do you see? You see lights. You see women with shimmy, shimmy Cocoa Pops on and all that stuff. dancing around. You're like, wow. But the devil ain't going to show you all the ruined families. He ain't going to show you all the drugs. He ain't going to show you all the addiction and pornography. He ain't going to show you that. He ain't going to tell you that. Hey, if he ever tempts you to cheat on your wife or your husband, you think he's going to tell you how it's going to ruin your life? No, he's going to pump your ego up and say, you're the man. You're supposed to have this. You're supposed to have that. You're supposed to have this. And you're like, yeah. And little do you know, he ain't going to tell you the rest. Why? Because he's not stupid. Look in your nose. Satan says you need a status symbol. Prove your worth. Satan says, worship me and I will give those status symbols to you. Worship me. Jesus says, trust me and remember it is written. Let me give you these verses real quick. Exodus 8:1-2. Exodus 8:1-2. Moses said to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, let my people go that they may worship me. Psalm 150, verse 6, the last verse of the book of Psalms, chapter 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Then it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exodus 23, verse 24-25. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and your water. My friends, the devil's like a roaring lion, the Bible says, looking whom he can devour. He's looking around, how can I get you? And he knows how to get you. You will always lose the battle if you fight it on your own. The first thing you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I surrender my life to you. You are my Savior, and now I'm going to hide behind you, the Lion of Judah, the Bible calls him. You fight the devil. You guide me. You direct me. Some of y'all in here, today, you need to make a decision to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, to acknowledge that you are a sinner, to acknowledge that he died for your sin and rose from the dead. Don't play church. Don't assume because you are an American who've been to church as a kid that you are a Christian. Please do not be deceived, because if all you are is an American has been to church as a kid and you never voluntarily surrendered your life to Christ, you are not a Christian. You are a person who has a God consciousness. But you are not a born-again Christian, as the Bible says. And when you die, you will go to hell. Because guess what? You ain't that cute. You ain't that important. And God don't love you that much to violate his own rule. You need to say, no, wait. I want to make sure. You do not want to doubt this. You want to make sure. Because the devil's not going to ruin your life. He'll just have you over here in a little corner. He'll give you a nice job, a nice family. Everything will be fine. Then you'll die and find out you've been misled the whole time. He's not going to ruin all your lives like you see some people. He has a different strategy for everybody. All you need to know is, is Christ your Savior? That's all you need to know. Are you following the Word of God? Because if you're following your own opinion, what you feel, that's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what he wants. Because you know what he's never going to say to you? This is me talking. You're going to think it's you talking. So in a minute we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to say, to get your life right with God. Say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned. I realize you died and paid the price for my sin, and you rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender my life into your hand. We have thousands of people in this country who are in the military. They volunteered. To get in this army, you have to volunteer. Not going to force himself on you. You have to voluntarily say, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being faithful to us. Thank you so much for being a God who knows everything, who's more powerful than the devil. And Lord, we pray we can be men and women who trust you through thick and thin. Lord, there are people here this morning who know they've never asked you to be their Savior. They've been in church. They know about godly things. They probably don't think they're bad people. But they never asked you to be their Savior. They never completely surrendered and received you as Lord, Master, God. But today they want to because they realize the devil's been deceiving them all this time. They realize that he's slick, he's subtle. And they want to make sure that you are their Savior. In the privacy of your heart, if today you want to make sure Jesus Christ is your Savior, pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, not out loud, in your heart, pray, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin is wrong. And I know the penalty is death. Jesus, please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born again. I want to be your child. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. I'm going to ask you if you pray that prayer and today you're surrendering yourself to Jesus just to stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Stand to your feet and stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. God has spoken to you today and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you today. No more games. No more thinking I can fight this battle alone because I cannot. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Stay standing. Very good. Very good. Very good. This is the day God's been waiting for. Now we're going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. The Bible says the just shall walk by faith. We're going to ask you as we welcome you to the family of God to just walk out of your seat and come down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Come on right down here. Who's the man? Who's the man? Stay right there. Stay right here. Stay right here. Very good. Very good. Amen. Amen. God bless you. 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 All of y'all said this. Oh, let's keep clapping. We got more people now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We all have to acknowledge there's an evil one out there. We all have to acknowledge that. And all we have to do is obey the Bible. The Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book. The devil has a thousand ways to distract you and confuse you because he wants you dead. He does not want you trusting the God of the Bible. If we trust the God of the Bible and do what he says, things work out. If we don't, they don't. Simple. Go look at your life. It's always true. It's always true. We're going to pray for y'all in a minute, then we're going to lead you out. I'm going to follow that brother right there. I want to, we have an amazing problem at this church. I'm sorry, a very good problem. Do y'all know what it is? Parking. Yeah. That too. We have a bunch of people sitting in the back, standing in the back, and sitting on the floor. The 8 o'clock service has empty seats. If it doesn't make a big deal to you, I would want to encourage as many of you as possible, hundreds, to go to 8 o'clock so we can make room. For real, we can make room. Why? Because remember, for all of us who are regulars, it's not about us, right? It's about the people who we want to come. So I'm asking you if you could take that in consideration. I know it may be crimping some of your styles, and you know, some of you just need to be crimped, okay? It's not that big a deal. I'm here all day. So, and I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to think about you. I want you to think about them, okay? Let that be our culture, that we're thinking about them. Amen. And before you know it, you'll be glad you're getting up earlier, and you'll be so happy you got the rest of your day. And next week, we're going to also announce another adjustment we're going to make more room for more people. So we'll tell you that next week. Let me pray for y'all. God loves every single one of you, and he knows the devil's been lying to you. Now he's going to come to your aid. You just got to trust him. Lord, we pray for these people. We pray you change their life, and we pray they let you. May they let you. And I pray we would open our eyes that we may see what the devil's doing in our life. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have all y'all walk that way. We just want to give you a Bible. Amen. Let's go that way.